The message today, the sermon is titled, Christmas is Personal. And if that's not the title for the message for you today, I had a few others that it was previously titled before we came to that shortly. So let me know. Maybe one of those titles was for you. Maybe that sermon before it changed was for you. I don't know. But we're going to look at Luke chapter 2 today. If you turn your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 2. And we're also going to look at Galatians chapter 4. If you turn to Galatians 4, maybe if you've got a bookmark or something, you put there in Galatians 4 and Luke 2. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree to a census that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. On the eighth day, when the time came to circumcise the child, he was named Jesus, the name the angel had given him before he was conceived. Christmas. Christmas is about the coming of Jesus. Christmas is about the Christ. It's about God made flesh. Christmas is about Jesus, but Christmas is also for you and for me. Some of us spend a great deal of money on Christmas, on gifts and decorations. It's funny to see the diversity of how we approach Christmas. And I just even time with different family members over the last few days, seeing even people raised in the same home can celebrate so differently and approach Christmas so differently. But for some of us, Christmas cost more to celebrate than for others. You know, certainly for Mary and Joseph, Christmas was costly. They left their home. They traveled to Bethlehem. And then, of course, with the persecution that came, they had to leave and they fled. They went to Egypt for a time and then came back. For the shepherds, you know, the predictability and the comfort of just shepherd life was radically interrupted for a season, and it cost them their usual predictable schedules. I like my schedule to be predictable. And they had to throw that out the window, certainly for that night when the good news of Jesus came. For the wise men, Christmas was costly. It spent a lot of time crossing the desert to come to the birth of Jesus, following that star, I think of the several hundred years since then, you know, the early church, the persecution that came against the apostles and the first disciples, and how costly it was for them to tell people about the birth of Jesus, the coming of a Messiah, and what he did to save us. Over the years since then, with the missionaries all over the world, even today, there's many of our brothers and sisters in 100 countries or more that are being persecuted because of the gospel, because of this good news that God has come in the flesh. And it's very costly for them that Christmas is personal in their lives, that Jesus has come. And of course, more than any of that, the cost to God himself. The Father sending the Son to come to earth, as Brad said, coming down into the muck and the mire and the dirt and the dust, into this creation which was fallen and broken, this creation that he made that owed him everything, and to condescend to come and be one of us in order to save us. It was very costly for God to be with us. But no matter what the cost, people must know. People must, this is too great a news for us to keep to ourselves. People must know that this has happened. I think there's an old song by Larry Norman. Any other Larry Norman fans from back in the day? I know, yeah, at least one. Yeah. Well, in case you didn't know, I think he was rightly called the grandfather or godfather of Christian rock back in the day. I think he even as a child wrote a Christian rock song like in the 50s. So he was way before Petra even. So, but Larry Norman, he had a song, I think it was titled Sweet, Sweet Song of Salvation. And he starts out the song, if I've got the right one, it's been a while, but he talks about, you know, when you know a beautiful story, you don't let it go unsaid. You can't keep it to yourself. And this is the most amazing, remarkable story, true story, this great news, true story. Right on. I love that. Sure, that's a great message. People must know. You know, we have got to tell people. We should, you know, out of what's overflowing in our hearts, you know, that welling up into our words to tell people this wondrous news, even though sometimes it's a little costly. You get a few funny looks from people sometimes. But no matter what the cost, all of it, from that first Christmas and even long before that, into eternity past, all of this being part of God's design and plan of an awesome, wise, sovereign God over everything. It amazes me, and I look at Caesar and how he thought he was calling for a census for his own purposes, I'm sure. You know, he's thinking, I want to see how great my empire is. I want to tax these folks. You know, and he had all these agendas and purposes that he thought were his, and yet he was fulfilling the sovereign plan of God that brought Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem, just as it had been foretold by the prophets. The Apostle Paul recorded in Galatians 4, if you'd look with me at Galatians 4 for a moment, starting in verse 4. And Paul begins talking about, theologically, but even I think more than that, taking this, what had happened historically, and unpacking it personally for us. In Galatians 4, starting in verse 4, Paul wrote, but when the set time had fully come. I love that. When the set time had fully come. Not meaning when human beings finally did all the things they needed to do for this to happen. God had predetermined this was going to happen. So the set time that God had decided, when the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law that we might receive adoption to sonship. Christmas, all about Jesus, but Christmas for us, the sending of his Son. When the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, God's Son sent into this world that we might receive, so that we might receive adoption, that we could become God's children. And verse 6, Paul continues, because you are his sons, God sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but God's child. And since you are His child, God has made you also an heir. God sent the Spirit of His Son, the Bible says, into our hearts. And this happens when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. And I know for a lot of us, theologically, it's hard to wrap our mind around this. And it's hard to explain. And I know sometimes for believers, they'll genuinely call out to God for forgiveness of sins in faith and say, but I just don't feel different. But this is the truth that is beyond our feelings. Sometimes in my life, I have a very strong feeling of the sense of the Holy Spirit, and sometimes I don't. But the Word of God tells me that He indwells us, that He indwells me, that we are given His Holy Spirit, whether we fully understand, whether we fully feel that or don't feel that, doesn't matter. The Word of God says God sends His Spirit into our hearts, the Spirit of a Son who cries out, Abba, Father. The Word of God tells us that apart from His Spirit, we cannot understand or discern the things of God. We can't fully understand the beautiful story there in Luke 2 of the coming of Christ. As much as we can read of that miraculous birth, we can't really comprehend the gravity and the beauty and the significance of Luke 2 unless that other part in Galatians 4 has happened. That you've trusted in Jesus Christ and you have received that Holy Spirit that calls out, Abba, Father. God with us. God with us in that general sense. God coming into His creation in the form of that baby. God with us in that sense, but God also, God in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Son, living in your heart, which comes when we put our trust in Jesus Christ. There is a sense in which believing is seeing. Where believing is seeing. I know sometimes that I can be very verbose. I can sometimes want to over-articulate the gospel message to somebody who doesn't know Jesus yet and just unpack everything for them. But the reality is, until the Holy Spirit does a work there in their heart, they're not going to really, in a life-giving way, get it. That we have to believe, we have to trust, we have to look to Christ. And in doing that, our spiritual eyes being opened, that aha moment that Jesus came for me. Jesus came for me. Believing is seeing. But believing is also becoming. Believing is also becoming. Luke 2 happened so that Galatians 4 could happen. Jesus came to be God with us so that He could live that perfect life and go to that cross and take our sins upon Himself and the wrath of God for our sins poured out upon Jesus and His resurrection victory for us so that Galatians 4 could happen. So that we could experience not only God with us all, but God in us. God in His church, with us in a special way. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 20, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, speaking of Joseph, Jesus' earthly father. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. This is from Isaiah. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Jesus came into this world to be God with us because He is God with us. And He came on a mission. He came to deal with the biggest problem we could ever have. Sin. He came, as I love thinking about just the beauty of that nativity story, but it continues on. It didn't stop there. He came to deal with our sin, with our greatest need. Jesus came to save. His name means Yahweh is salvation. It means God saves. That's why he came. I love the baby in the manger. It's worth celebrating. It's so wondrous and so beautiful. But unless he is alive in me, unless the Holy Spirit has come and set up residence, it's not become personal. As beautiful as that story is, apart from me and apart from you, for it to have a fullness of the joy it's supposed to have in our lives, it's got to be personal. That we receive by grace through faith that we receive Jesus. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 27, to them, this is speaking of the saints, of God's people, to them, God has chosen to make known among the Gentiles the glorious riches of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. To this end, Paul said, I strenuously contend with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. This proclamation of salvation in Jesus Christ, it is for everybody, because everybody has a universal need. You know, the Bible says that all of us have sinned. All of us have fallen short. In Romans chapter 3, the Bible tells us, there is no one righteous, not even one. There is no one who understands. There is no one who seeks God. All have turned away. They have together become worthless. There is no one who does good, not even one. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Verse 23. The Bible not only accurately describes Jesus, the Bible accurately describes us apart from Jesus. The Bible tells us that we are not inherently good as a race, that we are sinners, that we, instead of sincerely seeking and searching for God with all of our being, we rationalize running from God. We come up with reasons why we want to live apart from God. Doesn't sound very Christmassy. Doesn't sound like a very Christmassy thing to say. But if we miss out on this, if we miss out on the significance of why Jesus came, it's not the good news that it's supposed to be. The reason it's such good news that that baby was born is because Jesus has come to deal with our sin problem. Here's Christ's gift for each of us. Instead of allowing our sin to run its course and to separate us from God, the Bible tells us that the wages of sin is death. Death in the Bible means separation. It talks of different types of death, separation from the body and separation from God. And instead of just letting that run its course out of an intense, unfathomable love for you and me, Jesus came so that we could receive salvation and receive life in His Spirit and experience His cleansing and His goodness and His power and His love. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. There's no amount of good works that could have done this for you on your part. There's no other way that that sin debt, which is so great for any of us, could have ever been paid. There's no other way that could have led to peace with God and restoration of relationship with God. The only way was for Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, to come and to take your sin. That's why he came. That's why the Christmas story. And I want to say to anybody here today, or maybe watching online today, if you want to experience a joy in Christmas that you have never experienced before, it begins by accepting Jesus as your Savior. It begins by acknowledging that the reason that that baby came and was born in that stable and placed in that manger, why the Son of God would do that, was to go to a cross for you, was to pay for your sins. And if you would receive that, if you would receive that gift by God's grace through trusting in Jesus, there is a joy and a marveling at the Christmas story like you have never experienced before, if you would personally receive that gift. When you accept Jesus Christ, when you accept him through faith, through trust, you receive that forgiveness of sins, you receive the promise of eternal life, you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, and he comes and sets up residence in you. And he guides you, and he comforts you, and he teaches you, and changes you, and gives you life. That's the reason why. That's the reason why of Christmas. Again, Galatians 4. When the set time had fully come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law to redeem those under the law, that we might receive adoption to sonship. Because you are his sons, God has sent his Spirit, the Spirit of his Son, into our hearts, the Spirit who calls out, Abba, Father. He came not to give us a religion. He came to give us a relationship. He came not to give us rules. He came to give us life, to give us himself, to give us his Spirit, to give us the ability to trust him and to call out to him and say, you, God, you're not only my creator, you are my Father. It starts with trusting in him. Even though you don't have all the answers, you don't have to. If maybe you're one of those people, you're watching today and you're like, I don't quite understand everything yet, so I can't take that next step. And I just want to tell you, until you take that next step, you're not going to understand everything. You know, it's a tough thing to turn your back on self and turn towards God, but it's a simple thing. He didn't make it complicated, just to turn to him and acknowledge the truth. God, me trying to run my life doesn't work. So I want you to run my life. You're not just Lord in the abstract. I need you to be Lord of me. I need you to run my life and to come set up residence in my heart and to cleanse me and to be my God. Jesus came as a baby, God with us, so that we could receive his Spirit into our hearts and he could be God in us. I was reading about two missionaries who were imprisoned and being abused and mistreated. And one of the things that their captors told them was that they were forbidden to speak to each other. But they were in the same cell, and they realized that a particular day was Christmas. And one of the prisoners, they didn't have blankets, they just had straw to try to keep warm. And one of the prisoners started taking little bits of the straw and making letters to his friend. And he spelled out, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. God with us. And his friend's heart just welled up with joy at the truth of that. God is with us. I know for a lot of us, you know, we are so far detached from what a lot of our brothers and sisters around the world are going through today for the sake of the gospel. the persecution that a lot of believers on a daily basis experience. But we still go through loss and grief and hardship. It's still costly to follow Jesus, always. But no matter what the circumstances are, we have this wondrous truth and this wondrous victory that He is Emmanuel. He's God with us, not just in a manger 2,000 years ago, but by His Spirit today, in each of us, with us, for those who trust in Him. People need to know that. People must know that Emmanuel has come, yes, in the beautiful Christmas story. I'm so glad when the story turns away from just being Santa Claus and Rudolph, as fun as that is. And I love giving gifts and seeing people happy about the things they receive, and that's great. But I love it when it turns from that to being about the birth of Jesus. But it can't just land there and stop. It has to continue on. It has to continue on so that people understand, no, this is not just a historical story. This is a personal story. He's not just God with us 2,000 years ago. Is He God with us for you? Do you know Him? Have you trusted in Him? That's a question for each of us, and a question for us to share, a good news for us to share with everybody around us. He can be. He can be. No matter who you are, no matter what you've done, He can be God with you. Worship team, if you'd like to come back up, we're going to celebrate communion today. Communion is a remembrance. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." It's a remembrance of who He is. It's a remembrance of what He has done on the cross to save us. It's also a celebration, a joyful, wondrous, grateful celebration of what Jesus has done for us and our standing with Him, our relationship with Him. But it's also a time to let our hearts be drawn close to the heart of the Father. It's a time to receive the fullness of His grace for us. As the worship team plays this song, we're going to have just a... You're free to let the Spirit guide you. And if He's telling you to stand up and worship Him, you go ahead and do that. But if you want to take a time to just reflect upon Jesus and thank Him. Thank Him for meeting the greatest need you could possibly have with the greatest provision there could ever be, which is Him giving Himself to pay for our sins and rising in victory for us. And taking this time to just draw near to Him through faith. And I want to say that I know for some of us this is like the 100th communion for you, or maybe the 50th, or maybe the 1,000th. You know, I don't know how many times for you, but there could be some of us that this is the first communion for you, where really for the first time you reach out in faith to God and trust in Him. And so for those here today and for those watching online, I want to encourage you, if you've accepted the historical story but never made it personal and said, "I need Jesus to be with me," this would be a wonderful time to do that. This would be a great day to just simply say, "God, I need You." And He will meet you right where you are, no matter who you are, no matter what you have done in your life. His payment for your sin is more than enough. And you can trust in Him today for the first time. So I'm going to come back up in a few moments. Mark, would you help with the communion? Thank you, brother. Mark's going to come up and hand out the communion elements. And I want to ask, please do hold these until everybody's received. And then I'll come back up after the song and we'll receive the elements together.
come, burning, waiting ones, weary of praying, come, see what your God has done. Christ is born, Christ is born, Christ is born for you. Oh, come, bitter and broken, come, with fears unspoken, come, taste of its perfect love. There is no need to run. See what your God has done. Christ is born. Christ is born. Christ is born.
Amen. Amen. Mark is going to hand out the communion elements, and let me pray as Mark does that. You can go ahead, brother. Abba, Father, our Father in heaven, Lord, we draw near to you as we do every time, Lord, that we celebrate this communion. We draw near to you by grace, not in our good works. We draw near according to your mercy and according to your faithfulness, and not according to anything that we have done or not done. Lord, we bow our heads before you because Jesus bowed his head on that cross and gave up his spirit. And we bow in awe and wonder and adoration. We bow at the person of the Christ. We bow at the wonder of your word. and your precious promises to your people, we bow our hearts and our lives at the cross of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. Thank you that out of a marvelous, incomprehensible love, beyond measure, that you gave yourself for us to save us, each one. Lord, in this time, I pray, Lord, help us to offer ourselves back to you, our hearts and our minds and our lives. Lord, help us to yield to your indwelling Holy Spirit in this moment, that we can worship you from our hearts the way that we should. God, we pray that this time would be honoring to you and pleasing to you, to the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Lord, that you would fill our hearts with an unexplainable peace and a wondrous joy and hope in our souls, God. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, "For I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" The body of Christ given for you. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Christ's blood shed for you. Father, thank you so much that for your people, Christmas is very personal. That you sent your son Jesus to be Emmanuel, to be God with us. And you have sent your Holy Spirit into the world, Lord, to call people to yourself, to create your church, and to give each of us, Lord, the comfort and the leading that we need in our lives, and to sanctify your people, to give us that family resemblance, that even though we are your imperfect, messy kids, forgiven, that you are taking away those things that don't look like Jesus and adding to us the things that do. Lord, your ways are wonderful and wondrous, and we praise you for them. Thank you for God with us. Thank you for God in us. Thank you, Lord, that we have your promise of eternal relationship with you forever. Lord, thank you for your intense, supernatural love for sinners. Thank you, Lord, that you delight in forgiving and saving. Lord, I ask that in this moment, maybe there's somebody watching online now, Lord, that your Holy Spirit might prompt someone to call upon Jesus for salvation. And that they would do that, Lord, so that you would be praised and your name would be honored in their life. In Jesus' name.